In preparing this message, I started thinking back, and I looked at the feast, and this year it brought back some memories of a couple of years ago when I used to travel. And I used to travel quite extensively. And when I say quite extensively, every week I would either hop a plane first thing Monday morning, and when I say Monday morning, I mean around 4 o'clock. My wife would drive me to the airport. She really loved that. And occasionally I'd fly out on Sunday night. And every week I was gone till generally Friday morning or Friday afternoon. So it was pretty tough being away from home that much. But one thing I got real good at is preparing for my next trip, getting ready for it. And for those of you that traveled here this week for the feast or are traveling someplace else today or tonight, I should say, and tomorrow, you know what it's like to prepare for a trip. So it brought back the memory of one particular Sunday trip that I took, and Sunday was a little different than traveling on Monday. Sunday I got to wear my tennis shoes, my jeans, my ball cap, you know, get to go casual on the plane. Monday morning I had to wear a suit and be ready to hit the office, you know, running. But this one particular Sunday night, hopped the plane, nice and relaxed, got to the airport, everything ran smooth, got to my destination, got my rental car, checked into my hotel, started unpacking my bags, put my bathroom bag in my bathroom, and hung up my suits, hung up my shirts, put my socks in the sock drawer, my undergarments in the other drawer. All of a sudden, I realized, looked around, where's my belt? Where's my shoes? I looked down, and I had my tennis shoes, not just any old tennis shoes, but the ones that I would mow the grass in. And bright and early, 8 o'clock Monday morning, I had a presentation that I was the lead presenter on. This is embarrassing. Lack of preparation. Well, if you've ever been in any town, USA, at quarter to 10 on Sunday night and tried to find a dress belt and a pair of dress shoes, that's quite a challenge. Well, I did find a 24-hour Walmart. I did find a belt. A pair of shoes I hated at the time, but actually I kind of like them now. So I squeaked by on that one. But preparation, that's what I want to talk about today. And I've got several points that I want to make. And the first, I think, would be pretty obvious with the feast beginning tomorrow night at sunset. Preparing for the feast. Well, for those that may be staying here in Phoenix, and for some, you may be staying in your own home, you say, I don't have to prepare anything. I don't even have to pack a bag. I'm staying home. Well, hopefully by the end of this message today, we see things a little differently. Preparation is key. Preparation is what we're here for. This feast really represents the feast that we're getting ready to enjoy for the next 7 days is it takes a lot of preparation. Now, I know firsthand how many people devoted a lot of hours to preparing this feast site, this Phoenix feast site. Not just this feast site, but any feast site you may be traveling to. So let's get into the points I want to make. Preparing for the feast. So how can we prepare for the feast if we don't have to pack a bag or if we don't have to make any travel arrangements? Well, let's all turn over real quick to Colossians 4. So the first scripture, Colossians 4. Colossians 4, and we're going to start reading in verse 2. Colossians 4 and verse 2, and I'm going to actually read it out of my notes because I got a lot bigger font than in my Bible. Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now, the Apostle Paul was asking us to pray for him. We need to pray for those that are speaking, those that are presenting messages. A very large percentage of the messages we hear all year long will come in the next 8 days. How important are those messages? That spiritual food, it's extremely important to each and every one of us. And the success of these messages, really, the success of the entire feast, relies on us individually, each one of us. Well, now let's turn back just a few pages real quick to Colossians 1. Colossians 1, and we're going to start reading verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and for the love you have for all of God's people. Is this our attitude? Are we just going to the feast? Is this just a fun time to take a tenth of our income and just enjoy that good time? Or are we here for God's message? And that should be the most important aspect of why the feast, or why we're going to the feast, or why we're staying here for the feast, whatever the case may be. So let's go on to the next area where we can prepare for the feast. And we can prepare basically for spending time. We're going to be spending time with those of like mind, the brethren, for 8 days. It's not like every other week we get to enjoy services, we get to talk to everybody, then we get to go home. We're going to be spending 8 days with the brethren. That's pretty cool. But let's go turn over real quick to John 17, and see what it says. Because we've talked about praying for those that are speaking. Let's look at something else. In John 17, in verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That's our example. We pray for each other. We pray for each other. We're going to spend time with each other, and we want to pray for each other. Pray for soft hearts, for willing attitudes. And let's keep moving on. Now, preparing our hearts. And you won't have to turn. I've got actually quite a few scriptures I want to go to, because I don't want it to be my message. I want it to be God's message. And I want it to come from the Bible itself. Just the quick topics are where I interject. So preparing our hearts. Ephesians 6, and starting in verse 14. Ephesians 6. Stand there, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on your breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And in verse 16, above all, take the shield of faith, which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Preparing our hearts. And we do this through prayer. We've got to, as well as preparation. Preparation of the gospel of peace. And you don't have to turn there, I'll read it from my notes. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. Preparing our hearts, rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Prepare your heart and prepare to spend time with the brethren. We're going to be spending a lot of time with each other. It's going to be an awesome experience. Now, we also do this by dwelling on the proper things. And recently we just observed the Feast of Trumpets, as well as the Feast of Atonement. Speaking of that, I get a drink of water today. Which is really nice. I'm going to stop just for a second. My family and I have kind of a tradition that we do when we break the feast on atonement. And my particular one is chocolate milk. Chocolate milk, nice and cold for in the icebox. And you prepare it about 15 minutes beforehand, so you're just amped up. That first sip, we call it the first sip, you take it and you can feel it go all the way to, it makes it all worthwhile. Anyway, back on with message today. Preparing our hearts. Psalms 25, and again, you don't have to turn there, I'll read from my notes. Psalms 25, show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths, lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Prepare your hearts. But dwelling on the things that are very, very important, you can find that in Philippians 4. Let's turn over there real quick. Because this is vital to the success of not only our own salvation, but the feast and any endeavor we enter into. Preparation, preparing for the proper things. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, think on these things, prepare yourselves, put the right thoughts in your head. But prepare yourself. When you do this by contemplating, by considering, by meditating on the right things, these things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, do these, or these do, and the God of peace will be with you. That's how we keep God in our heart, is we meditate on him, meditate on the things that are noble, the things that are good. Now, let's move on to another area where we can prepare. And again, this is relates to the feast, but not just the feast, but also the things that that we do in everyday life. But preparing for activities. Preparing for activities. Now, we all have our own ways of doing things. I know I'm an individual, and sometimes I get cantankerous, and I want things done my way. But let's see what 1 Peter 3 says about this. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 3. So the subject line on this particular topic is preparing for activities, proper fellowship, and the love of others. 1 Peter 3, beginning in verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind. Think alike. Get along. Be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. In verse 10, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. We get along with one another. This is something where any time you get more than two, three people in a room sometimes, there has a tendency of being conflict. And that's what we want to avoid, even in the world. But we want to put out a good example. We want to shine the light of God. And in Romans 15, and I can read this out of my notes once again. You can write it in yours. Romans 15, verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we taught the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another, according to Jesus Christ, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's pretty serious that we need to kind of think alike. You know, we should be like-minded as being called out of this world. God's given us all a tremendous opportunity to enjoy this upcoming feast and enjoy the Sabbath day as well. We've had what the world might call mysteries revealed to us. These are truths that's a miracle in itself that we understand some of these things. And in 1 Peter 4, and again I'll read it out of my notes, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. Fervent love for one another. You know, this is an attitude. This is a mindset. This is a state of being. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. I'll try my best. Verse 10, as each one of us have received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That's incredible, brethren. God tells us. He gives us the instructions right here. And on to the next topic of how we can prepare for life as well as a feast. Preparing to serve. And we can find a good example of this over in Galatians 5 and in verse 13. Galatians 5:13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only to not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Now, last year I was here in Phoenix for the feast, and my intent in staying was to serve. You know, I had a pretty serious health issue, and I ended up on the receiving end. So that was a little humbling for me to be on that receiving end of the service. But it is so incredible, the outpouring of love and concern and support that we can all receive. And if you are on that receiving end, accept it graciously. Don't be full of pride. You know, I want to do it all by myself. Reach out and allow others to help. That's the way God wants us to live our lives. Now, I'm going to kind of change subjects just a little bit because it may not seem to apply. And this, recently, again, we observed two different high days where we had the opportunity to offer up our offerings. So the next point I really want to make on preparing is preparing our offerings. Now, offering between you and God, me and God, that's a very personal thing. That's something that is very personal. But we can see that offerings need to be prepared. They aren't a last-minute thought. They're not something that you just, you know, pull your checkbook, and I'm going to tell a story on myself. I know when I was young in the church, we want to do this activity or I want to do that, and how much money am I going to have left over? It wasn't really thought out until the last minute. Well, let's look back at one of the first real signs of offering in the Bible. And let's go back to Genesis 4. And in Genesis 4, I'll begin in verse 3. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best of the firstborn lamb of his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. That made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Verse 6, God asked, "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master." So, you know, offerings and the state of mind that goes into that preparation. So let's look at something here. The attitude that Cain put into all of his preparation, all of his planning, all the things he did, led to one thing, and that was the death of his brother and God rejecting him totally. So what is an acceptable offering to God? You know, the Bible gives us a lot of different examples. We can look back in the Old Testament. In Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, there's numerous examples of what is an acceptable offering. Well, today we live in a different economy, a different world. But let's look at something here. In Leviticus 22, let's turn to Leviticus 22 because it's actually very clear what God expects. And this is very important as we enter in. We've got two more opportunities coming up very soon to give our offerings. Now, in Leviticus 22, verse 19, you shall offer your own free will. Now, you should offer of your own free will, a male without blemish from the cattle, from the sheep, or from the goats. Whatever has defect, you shall not offer, for it shall not be acceptable on your behalf. Now, let's stop there for a minute. Without blemish, without blemish, without spot. And I can go on to numerous scriptures, but for the sake of time, I won't. It didn't just happen. You know, the farmers back in those days, they didn't just, I'm going to go out and I'm going to grab this. It looks good. Grab it. They were set aside. These offering cattle, animals, they were set aside. They were prepared. They were fed different feed. You can go on to different pieces and look back on how these offerings were prepared for the Lord. And it was without spot, without blemish. And you can do a whole sermon just on that. But suffice it to say, God expects us to contemplate, to plan, to prepare for what we're going to offer up to him. It needs to be acceptable. And speaking again, strictly for myself, I know I have in the past given unacceptable offerings to God the Father. And that was just a topic I wanted to touch on here. Now, in Luke 6, verse 38, and I'll just read that one scripture out of my notes, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and run all over, it will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So keep that in mind. Now, as we look at the topic or the subject of offerings and what we give to God, in Malachi chapter 3 and in verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring all the tithes and into the storehouse, that they may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. And dropping down, if I will not open for you the window of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. So as we give out of our hearts, as we give as we have been blessed, it will be given back to us in measure we can't even contemplate. Now, there's a very good scripture in 2 Corinthians, and I'll just read this one scripture out of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go ahead, to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you have previously promised, that it may be ready as a manner of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. That's not the way we should look at our offerings. It's something, we have to do this. We have to do it. Now, it's something we are privileged to do, to give to our God. And God will repay us. It's uncountable. Now, I want to touch on one of the last areas of preparation, I think actually this is the most important area that all of us should be preparing for. Preparing for the return of Christ. And we should be doing that every day in our life. We should be doing all these things every day in our life. But this is extremely important to prepare for the return of Christ. We don't want to be caught sleeping. We don't want to be caught complacent. We want to be prepared. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Imitate me, the Apostle Paul says, just as I imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions or the customs just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Imitate me. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be rehearsing, preparing, planning for the return of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch. Let us keep our eyes open. Let's be ready and be sober. Now, we have heard, at least in this area, we've heard a lot of the parable of the 10 virgins. That really, really kind of plays into what we're talking about here, is the lack of preparation on the part of the five foolish virgins. Let's turn over as we begin to wind down a little bit here to Matthew 25. Because this is really the most important way, most important thing we can do is to prepare, to plan for the return of Christ. In Matthew 25, beginning in verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise. They prepared, they were ready. And 5 of them were foolish or unprepared. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They came in their yard mowing tennis shoes. Those who were foolish took their lamps and no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They planned, they checked, they double checked, they made sure they were ready. In verse 5, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And they were all caught napping. At midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give me some of your oil. Hey, can I borrow some shoes? I'm kind of stuck in a situation. Verse 8, the foolish said to the wise, give me some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should be not enough oil for us and you, but rather go out to somebody who sells it and buy it yourself. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, those who were prepared, went with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Verse 11, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. That's how important it is to be prepared, to plan for these things, plan for the return of Christ. Now, it's only right for us to prepare for the return of Christ when he's planned and prepared from the foundation, from before the world was created, for what's in store for us. Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, this isn't our world, brethren. This is the world we live in. This is Satan's world. This is the world that Satan currently rules. With the Feast of Trumpets that declares on the seventh trump, Christ returns and Satan will be chained for 1,000 years. That 1,000-year period is what this feast that we're getting ready to enter into represents. Such a tremendous opportunity. And dropping down to verse 16 in Hebrews 11, but now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And for, 1 Peter 1, and I'll start in verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now there's our sacrifice today that God the Father and Jesus Christ made for us on our behalf. What's our good service for him? He indeed was foreordained. He was prepared before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. This is why we are here today. This is why we are here today. Now, how awesome is it, the gifts and the promises that God has given us? In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Our preparation is key. Our preparation is vital. For our success in life, for our future, for our salvation, as well as for this feast that's coming up. Now, I want to conclude by reading from the booklet, What is Your Destiny? What is your destiny? And if you haven't read that recently, I really recommend that you, go out. It's on the information table and pick it up and read it. It's a really great book. From the booklet, What is Your Destiny? I'm just going to read a couple of short paragraphs from it. This is how awesome things are. The scriptures tell us that our destiny can and will exceed anything we could ever imagine in our wildest dreams. Isn't it time we let God explain from his word what he has in mind for us? A prophetic passage gives us our first clue to our fantastic future, speaking of the resurrection of the dead, and it tells of the coming. excuse me, just a second. It tells us that a time is coming when many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life. Some to everlasting life. Those that didn't do what God wants them to do and what we've been shown to do today, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. It adds, to those who are wise, those who have prepared, shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness. Well, how do you do that? You do that by being an example. You do that by practicing the things we learn, not just during the feast, but all year long. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who led many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Now, you can find that in Daniel 12, verses 2 and 3, and that's the Revised Standard Version from the booklet. This is just a hint of the amazing future God has planned for us, to live forever, shining in glory like brilliant stars. How awesome is that? Now, if we do what God asks us to do, if we are prepared, if we are vigilant, if we pray for the messages, if we pray for the brethren, if we ask that God soften our heart and allow us to be receptive to the things that we've learned, this will be not just a great feast, but brethren, we'll all be there to enjoy what this feast represents. We'll be there serving beside Christ, our brother. Have a wonderful feast, brethren. Let's prepare for the return of Christ.